started.
What?
Yeah, did you not know?
I did not know that.
Surprise, surprise. I can't sing right now. Because I'm just dying.
Did you just mute yourself?
No.
Didn't?
No.
You didn't just go and mute yourself?
I can't mute myself. I don't have... The headset that I got you, that I also got me, doesn't work for me.
Sorry. But you can mute yourself by hitting the little... the microphone button.
Shut up. No one asked you.
You don't need a fancy headset to do that.
Shut up.
I'm just helping you along, man.
You know what? My friend today was like this. Today was the first day I had left the house for anything other than work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, as they say, anyway. But mm-hmm. like, what they say about what this COVID does to your brain is not being exaggerated upon, because I would be like mid conversation and then just fucking fully disassociate trying to find a word.
Yeah.
And at one point she just reached over and patted my head and goes, "It's a good thing you're pretty." She goes, "Wow." I had conversations with people that I don't remember.
Oh yeah.
It was bad. I would get up.
You had conversations, or you talked with people you couldn't remember who they were?
I wouldn't remember that we ever spoke.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And they gave me this nose spray so mm-hmm. that I would not, you know, die of not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I think, had a steroid in it, because I went from being deathly ill to ready to set the world on actual fire. We spent Thanksgiving with COVID. So who do you spend it with?
I spent it with my family, of course, and we successfully avoided most people. So I'm very happy about that. Anytime we can avoid
the
population of planet Earth outside of playing a show and meeting fans, I am on board with that. We did have my old best friend from college and old roommate come down, because he's basically the male version of the cat lady. And so.
Nice.
So, yeah. So he used to live with us. So we brought him down because he normally has to work the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So he came down. We hung out. Him and Mabel enjoy each other. He enjoys her sense of humor. I mean, everyone does, but. You know,
I mean, if you don't enjoy Mabel's sense of humor, you don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah. So basically, to spend more time with Julia and the kids.
Good.
I get up in the morning. I mean, I get up in the morning anyway. The only way I wouldn't do that if I slept too long or I was dead. But I've been getting up in the morning and we all take Mabel to school.
Oh, and that's sweet.
The other, like, one day I didn't get to go. And so Mabel, like, really likes country music.
Really?
Yeah, she likes a bunch of styles of music, but she likes country music to listen in the car on the way to school.
And
so as we're pulling up to the school, or as she was doing it with her mom, she goes, "Mom, can you turn down the radio when you drop me off?"
Aww.
So
why is she embarrassed?
I don't know. She's embarrassed that she likes country. So my wife came home and told me, of course. And so the next time we're dropping her off, I go, "Have a good day. Go kick some ass." Yeehaw!
Well, I have nothing to report.
You have nothing to report?
I have nothing to report except a quick apology to Mr. Mike Moody. I'm losing my voice. Mr. Mike Moody, something went wrong with the signals when we interviewed, and only 11 minutes and 32 seconds got recorded, even though we never disconnected, and I did hit record.
She did hit record.
I saw
the red light.
So we'll be re-recording that, but I just wanted to send out I've already apologized to him, but I feel bad, so I'm going to say it again. Sorry. I don't know what happened. Really, that's only the second time in 3 years. That's not bad. It's just embarrassing.
Like 3 months, actually. But you know what?
But in the whole time, it's been 3 years, and it's only happened twice.
So
we have no interview because... our interview for this week. Yeah, go ahead.
Is having a family issue, and so he is dealing with that. We wish him the best and hope that he needs to talk to someone. He can call me or email Ranelle at soundpollutionpodcast@gmail.com. But if he needs to talk with someone, he can contact us if he'd like to. We'd be happy to help out in any way possible outside of sexual favors. At least that's me. My co-host may be different. I don't know.
That's not true.
What part of it is not true?
Oh, I don't know. So
vague.
We have two more really good interviews coming up in the next couple weeks that I'm really, really excited about. Not that I wouldn't have been excited. I was actually very excited about this week, so I'm bummed, but I totally understand. When it comes to the show, family first, if that means that there's not an episode, then there's not an episode, and we do something or we don't. And thank you, listeners, for hanging in. I know it's the end of the year and everybody's busy and everybody's burnout, and we're all starting to get the sads. So Uncle Brent, not so much, because he's living where it's still warm.
I don't get sad during the holidays as long as I don't have to see people. Matter of fact, life for me is pretty good when I don't have to see people. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, people you normally have to deal with, like dipshits. Like work
people. Yeah. And dipshits. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Driving on the road.
Oh, my God.
Or those people in the grocery stores that fucking leave their cart like T-bone in the middle of the aisle and then walk off to another aisle to get something. People like that piss me off.
I've done that. So
inconsiderate people piss me off when they know I'm like right behind them.
Oh, no, that's
on
rude.
Their slow ass.
That's rude.
You know, because then I have to get passive aggressive.
You have to, or you choose to.
They flip the switch. It's not me, baby. They flip the switch. If they choose to go there, they choose to go there. I will meet them where they're at. You know, in religion, you're going to probably take this out.
Yeah.
They say Jesus meets people where they're at. Well, I'm kind of the same. So if you're being shitty, I will meet you at your shitty level.
You know what? I might leave that in. That was pretty good explanation of how you live your life. And since I know you, that's, yep.
But I would like to say, you know, I am not as good as Jesus is, you know, in case y'all are wondering. I'm not.
You know. No shit.
Or Sky God, as far as that goes.
Sky Daddy. Say it right.
Sky Daddy makes me feel dirty.
That's the point.
No, it's not the point.
That's the best part.
I don't want to feel dirty that way.
I love that my daughter got me started on that.
It is funny.
We have the last few interviews of the year, and then we are taking like 6 weeks off, 5 weeks off. Because
are we even coming back? Damn it.
We are coming back. We even have our first interview scheduled.
You might have scheduled that.
I did.
I know I didn't.
I did.
I mean, of course, I'm going to probably fill up the next however many months because everyone, you know, we keep.
Yeah, you know, things. Honestly, what we have learned, listeners, is that I think December is a terrible month to do interviews, and we're not going to do it anymore. There's too much going on. It's just so hard for people to commit, and it's so easy for them to overbook themselves because we're all just overbooked during the holidays.
So easy for people to give us the shaft.
So I think instead of taking the five weeks off at the end of December, beginning of January, we're just next year going to take December off because it makes more sense.
We're just not coming back, you rat bastards.
Yes, we are. However, so we're going to be doing it bi-weekly episodes instead of weekly episodes, unless something changes for us financially. Because we all are doing it right now. We all are having to work extra. The economy has left a lot to be desired. And we cannot be in multiple places at once. And I don't want to give up the show. And I know Brent doesn't want to give up the show. But we also need time to be able to do other things with the show, like schedule live shows and things like that. And we just can't do it all. So that's that. But our next few episodes, I'm really jazzed about. We get to touch base with Darksoft, who just released his new album, which is so good. It's just so good. And we get to find out how that came to be. And then after that room, and I'm going to release it right before Christmas, we are going to touch base with our friend Brooks of York and Artemis Wolves and discuss their holiday releases and Brooks of York's instrumental release that he just released. If you're not familiar with any of those artists that I just discussed, but we've already interviewed him. So go back and listen to some of our older episodes. Go buy some music. It is best Christmas album I've heard in a really long time, and it's making me happy. There's a whole song about using fabric scissors and trying not to piss off your wife. I can't. It's so good. So this will be a music only episode featuring Corduroy Brown, Adam Spry, Starer, and Deb Morrison. So Brent asked me, this is us trying to make an episode out of nothing. We're fucking awesome, by the way. We are here for you. Last week to come up with my top five albums, and I can't do it.
You suck. You know hard I worked on that?
Look, I have six.
Okay.
And number five is tied with two artists off the same label. So I feel like that counts.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Because I like actually deleted albums.
I know. I did that too.
It was hard because every time I delete one, I'd be like, oh, but what about this one? And this is not even going and looking at my music that I have.
No.
If I went and looked at my music, I'd be so screwed.
Do you know how many lists I've made in the last 3 days?
I don't know. You had a lot more time to get your shit together. I didn't know I was going to have to do top five.
Well, you were the one who wanted to do it. This was your fucking idea.
But, you know, this was your idea. We both know I don't get.
Well, you got it.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy about it.
That sucks for you.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So how do you want to do this thing?
Give me your number five.
Well, I'm not going to do it that way.
Well, you have to do it that way because that's the way I'm telling you to do it. Well, we're going to just go down the line.
If I do it at number five.
That's your least favorite one. You want to end on your most favorite one.
Okay. All right. Fine. So now I have a bunch of things I'm going to say also related to it. I'm not just going to go, this is my favorite album, and I'm not going to stop talking.
Okay, well, we want to know why, but you need to not go over 5 minutes.
Well, I did not say I'd tell you why. I just said I was going to say some stuff, okay? So there's a difference. All right.
Go.
So number five is called Everybody Wants. It was released by the Struts in 2014. First time I heard of the Struts was on Facebook in 2015. First song, actually, I saw a video called Put Your Money on Me. And that is actually my favorite song by the Struts. There are two cool parts about the Struts. The first one is during South by Southwest in 2016, I got to go to a live acoustic performance. So me and my wife and 10 other people got to go see the Struts. Before the show, we were in their hotel room. We all had our clothes on, but we were in their hotel room.
You got to meet them?
Yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
I got to actually speak with Gethin Davies, who's the drummer, for probably like 5-6 minutes, and we talked about, you know, how they got to play for the Stones and the different bookings they had. And this is pre Foo Fighter stuff and some of the other things they had going on. The second big event related to the Struts was Shane, who's mine and Julia's ex roommate and my best friend from college. We had a friend that was dying of cancer and he was on his deathbed. So I sent a message to the Struts and asked for them to say something to him. And so Luke Spiller of the Struts sent me an audio tape so we could share with our friend before he died. So the day before he died, we played that for him and he thought it was really cool. And he died the next day.
Aww.
But he got a message from Luke Spiller.
That's pretty cool.
And it made me cry when I first heard it.
Aww.
That he would do that for someone he doesn't even know.
Anyway. That's pretty awesome.
And so you have that people. Recording.
Oh, that's right. I do have that recording. So it's on my old computer, which is not working.
But I can't tell you how instrumental that band was during that time period when I heard him, because we were having problems with my middle kids. Julia and I had met and got married, and there was just a lot of tension related to that. So being able to listen to them every day and constantly at work, because their music is just feel good music. And they're just good guys. I've seen them live twice, one being the acoustic time, got to talk with Gethin Davies, shared an email exchange with Luke Spiller. They're just really nice guys. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's when I met them, I was thinking, y'all guys are the same age as my son, my oldest son. So that was kind of funny too. All right, I'm done. What's your fifth?
I just changed it because I forgot about something. That has been happening to me for days. So I just changed it.
I just stopped thinking. I
can't. Look, this is the pen. And the pen's going.
I just.
Because I'll keep changing it. I'll keep changing this list. I can't do it. So number five, the album I could listen to from start to finish. I actually am going to age myself because I listened to it on VHS. I would fast forward this VHS until she would sing. And I was doing this at like 11. But it's the soundtrack to Lady Sings the Blues, the Billie Holiday story with Diana Ross. It's a double VHS because, yes, I'm 41. And I played it. And I would fast forward, like, and these were sort of things I shouldn't have been watching, but I was so fascinated by Billie Holiday's music and Diana Ross's voice that my mom literally had to remove the VHS. And then I went and found it and I did it again. And I would just listen to it over and over and over. And she finally just bought me the tape because I just listened to it. I broke one of the VHSs. I broke the tape because I played it so much. And to this day, I can listen to that album front to back. It's the only soundtrack on my thing on my list because I wasn't sure if that was allowed. I didn't ask for rules. I love that album.
It's about your favorite albums, not artists.
Well, I love
that. We get into favorite artist.
That's
favorite where I got guitarist.
You. I'd be done.
Favorite singer. That's a whole different nightmare.
I'd be done. So that's number five. And what we're going to play now has nothing to do with either one of those albums we discussed right now. We have Corduroy Brown.
Yeah. to feed again. I thought you should know.
Number four. I can't hear you. What have you done? You're muted.
Fudge.
I'm just glad it wasn't me this time. I'm always
crapping myself. I'm going to need to start wearing Depends before we do this freaking interview.
Number four.
Hey, stop redirecting me. I'm not one of your clients.
And that's not working. I've been hit a lot recently. Go ahead.
Oh, this is going to be kind of a weird one. The name of the album is called Pimps and Preachers. It was released by Paul Thorne in 2010. I actually heard it that year, and it's the version of Pimps and Preachers that is acoustic, not full band.
Okay.
So my favorite song off that album is Tequila is Good for the Heart. And it's just a great song. It's probably one of my most favorite acoustic songs just because of how he sings it, and the acoustic guitar just sounds great. And it's so heartfelt the way he sings it. That's just how that guy is. He has a real heavy Southern accent when he sings in it. You can just hear it. And when he sings, there's a bunch of depth to it. And you actually, even if he hasn't experienced it, he makes you feel like he's experienced. I've gotten to see him once, and that was fantastic. He's incredible. My favorite full band song, which is not on this album, is A Long Way from Tupelo, which is the album before that. But it's not my favorite album. The acoustic version of Pimps and Preachers is my favorite album by Paul Thorne. And I'm out.
I didn't expect you to have that one on your list. Your list is so different from mine.
Never
even. No, I've heard of them. But they didn't resonate with me. Now I'll have to go listen to that specifically.
The acoustic version was like a special thing you could only buy on his website. It didn't get pushed anywhere. He didn't release it anywhere. You can go see him acoustic and hear it, but you had to actually go to his website and purchase it from his website. I'm so glad. That was one of those things that I purchased, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but I went on ahead and got it because I'm an acoustic player, and I really like his voice. It's a great buy, just great buy for me. You know, y'all other people, I don't know what y'all like, but for me, it was awesome.
And on the other side of the spectrum, look, I had a hard time. Can I just say how hard of a time this was for me? Because there's so many albums I wanted to put in my top five, but I couldn't do it. So my number four is Michael Jackson's Bad album. It's a bop from beginning to end. There is not a bad song on that album. It was the second cassette I ever owned for my very first Walkman. And I broke it. I would listen to it. And as soon as it was over, I'd flip it over and I'd listen to it again. And I broke both the tape and the Walkman. I mean, there's not a song on that album that I don't like.
I liked your number five more than that one.
Really?
Yeah, because your number five is going to be a composition of songs that are tried and true, where his are kind of, you know, that moment in time, what was going on.
No, I don't know. That album, you know, it's good if it gets,
you know,
Weird Al
bad.
Yankovic'd.
You know it's bad.
Weird Al Yankovic'd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're Yankovic. So good. So good. I still love that album.
Yeah. What's the next song we're going to play?
We have Adam Spry. I really like his music, too.
Loneliness surrounds you, then mine's you.
So who's your number three?
So my number three is an album called Fortress. It was released by Sister Hazel in 2000. The first song I heard was Champagne High, and I heard it in between 2004 and 2005 after my second boy was born. The reason that album means so much to me is because I was going through a lot of emotional turmoil with this individual I was married to, and life was very hard. And I think it was about that time that I just knew that, you know, we were going to, this relationship was not going to be a successful one. And my favorite song from that album is Thank You, because it's like a big middle finger to whoever he's saying thank you to. And then there's also Elvis, the song Elvis on there. That's good too. It's fun one to sing along with when you're in the shower.
Learning so much about you through this list. Sister Hazel.
That shouldn't be a shock.
But it is a little. How's I mean, it shock? Would. I no, I see it being on your list, but it surprises me that it's in your top five.
I switched around my number three and number two like 17 times easy. Like there's so many scratches on this little piece of paper. But I finally decided to put the pen away like we discussed. So my number three is PJ Harvey's Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea. It's just I have loved PJ Harvey since the Rid of Me album. And I saw her perform that on some late night show. I can't remember which one it was, but I was too young to be watching it. But I have a relatively cool mom when it comes to music. I was like, oh, I want to see this chick play guitar. And my mom was like, sweet, you can. I'd never heard of her before, but it was a woman playing a guitar that wasn't country. I love country, but I like rock more. So, and then when she released Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea, I can to this day sit here and put it on. And there's genuinely not a bad song on it. There's songs on it that make me cry. There's songs on it that rock. She's just amazing. And in a lot of ways, I feel like she's still pretty underrated, which is sad because she performed right along some of those big rock guys in the 90s. And she's an amazing songwriter. And I love the album. She makes me happy. Well, don't make fun of my answer, though.
No, I'm not making fun of your answer, but your number four, I don't get.
Fuck you. Michael Jackson's Bad album is amazing. I will die on that hill. That is a good album.
That is so funny.
It is so good.
Choose that one over all the other ones he did.
I love, because it was, well, you said to pick albums that were also important to me. It was the second tape that I ever owned.
Okay.
And I played it till I broke it. It's special to me.
Oh my God. None of the albums that I've chosen were on anything other than CD or digital. The last.
Interesting.
Four and five.
Uh-huh.
Probably three, four, and five were in CD format, but they were also digital. So I was able to access them through digital means.
Right. I mean, that's all people do now, but
number one and number two.
CD. I'm impressed. You're coming up. I'm the CD. One who, I was just about to say, I like them, that Michael Jackson album so much that when my brother found it at like a record store on vinyl, he saved it for like months just so that I would get it on Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I literally have that on vinyl now. Oh, well, you can disagree. That's fine. Mm-hmm. This isn't your list. It's mine. Mm-hmm. But PJ Harvey's Story from the City, Stories from the Sea, I still listen to that regularly now in 2023.
So when I was picking out these albums, I had a more rigid criteria than some other people on this podcast.
You said once I could listen from front to back and that meant something to me. And that is what I did. You asked, you received. Just because you don't agree with them doesn't mean they're wrong.
So I was surprised that the order, especially after you got past two. Three, four, and five were a surprise to me initially, but But after I thought about it, they were no brainers. They were just no brainers. So here we go. Number two. My number two is.
I knew I was waiting for the joke.
My number two is New Miserable Experience, released by the Gin Blossoms in 1992.
Not a surprise at all.
Heard in 1992. The first song I heard was Hey Jealousy. I saw it on MTV. Such a good
fucking song. That album would be in my top 10, but not my top 5. That doesn't surprise me, though.
This album introduced me to one of my favorite songwriters, Doug Hopkins, and my favorite song by him is Found Out About You. I did get to see the Gin Blossoms before we had Hazel, but after we had Mabel.
Oh, really?
But Doug Hopkins was not there because he had already passed away. So it was a kind of a bittersweet thing, but it was a tribute to Doug Hopkins. So I really enjoyed the show and they sounded good and played well, played well enough and sounded good enough for drunk people.
That's pretty good. That's half the concerts I've ever been to. That's fair.
But the New Miserable Experience was, in the 90s, and I was in my 20s, my early 20s, and just trying to make it. And it was a very hard time. And I tend to have a kind of my personality in general is less than positive a majority of the time. And the songs in this album just kind of meshed perfectly with my personality. So that is my choice.
I love Hey Jealousy. I love that song. That is a good fucking song.
To pick out my favorite song was very hard. So what I had to do is go with my favorite songwriter. And then I had to go through all of his songs because I've heard all of his songs that have been released in some manner or format. And then I had to, then I was able to whittle it down to like 7. And then I was able to pick, but I had to like, it took some time.
So number two is not going to surprise you.
Okay, go.
Well, the artist won't surprise you, but the album I'm choosing will. So I chose Nirvana's MTV Unplugged album.
You've talked about this before, so I'm not surprised.
I love Nirvana. When I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there was a whole section on like his broken guitar and the stories, and I spent so much time in that section. But I grew up in Washington State, about 45 minutes from Seattle. So Nirvana in the 90s, granted I was in like middle school, was a huge, huge influence on me. That whole grunge era. I had a hard time with this, though, because I really wanted.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to change it.
Don't do it. You can't change it at this point.
I know, but I was torn between this and Soundgarden's first album, but I still went with this.
Damn it, you can't.
I won't. So, right. But Nirvana Unplugged, I was staying at my grandma's house and it came on when it was, I knew when it was going to come out because everybody knew when it was going to play out. Like everybody was recording it on their VHS. I'm old. And so I listened to it. I sat in front of the TV in my grandma's TV room, trying so hard not to wake anybody up because I knew I'd get in trouble, and listened to it on like volume 7, as quiet as you could get. And when I could buy my own albums, it was one of the first ones I ever bought myself.
That doesn't surprise me.
The way the band worked and spoke with each other and worked together was that in and of itself was entertaining.
But and you know what? Soundgarden's better. Oh, I just said it.
Soundgarden
is better.
Is better musically. I will agree with you. But Nirvana had more of an impact in a lot of ways than Soundgarden did.
You know who's better than Soundgarden?
I know what you're going to say.
Alice in Chains.
I fucking knew you were going to say that. I disagree. Soundgarden is better than Alice in Chains. 100 times better than Alice in Chains. 100 times better. Alice in Chains is good.
Sound to hell.
Soundgarden is so much better. No, their guitarist is better. Their vocalist is better.
No.
They're better.
No. Their guitarist is not better.
They're better.
Their guitarist is not better. The guitarist, the songwriter is better. We're so different.
So if you want to interview on our show, apparently, it doesn't matter what genre you are to pick it apart, no matter what. But we are very different.
And I also try to stick when I was doing this is try to stick as close as I could to the storytelling songwriters.
You didn't give me that. I didn't give you that,
but I had to.
That would have been a different list.
But I had to really work on weeding it down. So I had to keep putting in criteria to help me weed it down.
If you'd have gone based on songwriters, there would have been so many different. This would have been a different list.
No, I had to do that to give you this list. There was no way that I was going to be able to pick top five albums without any rules or guidelines or whatever. Because if I would have went outside of storytelling, that opens up everything.
You just couldn't pick the top five albums that you like most front to back.
No, I couldn't.
That's what I had to do.
I had to weed it down from that.
You don't think I did?
No, I don't. You're not old enough.
Fuck you. I weeded this down a lot.
Are you old?
I'm not old, but I'm old enough.
You know, that's why you're getting this list is because I went with storytellers. You know, if we were talking about guitarists.
That'd be a whole nother list.
This list would be if we were talking about drummers. Ha, I'd never do that.
Lies. But,
I'd probably have to do which drummers do I hate the most.
Shut up. Fucking drummers.
Oh, man.
There's no country on this list. If we'd have gone by songwriters, there would have been country on this list. There would have been more indie on this list.
But I had to limit it even more. I was like, when I got the list done, I had like three and I was like, okay, maybe I can work these in somehow.
That's what I've been trying to do for the last, like, we're coming up on the last, like, the last 2 hours before we were recording. I was like, how can I fit Death Cab in? How can I fit Joni Mitchell in? And I couldn't, still feel like I could have done Joni Mitchell's Blue album. That's a good album, but.
I was still trying to figure out 3, 4, 5 before. Well, okay, 3 and 4. I knew 5 was going to be in there. Mm-hmm. That was Struts, and I love the Struts.
Struts are good. They're very, very good. That one surprised me a little bit, to be honest.
I'm surprised it's not number 2.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Just because of the emotional connection?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, but all my songs are related to some kind of heavy emotional... All of these albums have some type of heavy emotional... thing with them. They wouldn't be in the top five if they didn't have that.
Well, and I think that's interesting because everybody's top five, if you just said pick your top five albums from front to back that means something to you, everybody's top five is going to be different. And it's going to tell you a lot about who they are. I don't know. So anyway, up next we have Starer. If we were going to pick top five metal albums, I would have put Starer on there. I would have put Starer and I would have put Seva. But not, well, that wasn't the question. So here is Starer.
I couldn't pick. I mean, you get into that genre.
Such a good genre. For me, it's so hard.
It's almost impossible.
Thank you.
I don't know. It's just, it's too hard.
I tried to stick with more mainstream because just top five albums. Well, these are, this is the music I listened to growing up. And that's, you were very specific with me. So I was very specific with you. What's your number one? I'm curious.
You're going to know this. And the number one album is Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy, released by the Refreshments in 1996.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be the Refreshments or Tom Petty. I knew it was one or the other.
The Refreshments, I did not hear until 11 years after that album was released.
Really?
I told a story about this. So in 2007, I was listening to the radio driving to work, and I was really hating life. Even more so than 2004, 2005, which is Fortress number three. But this one I was listening to on the way to work, and I was just, I mean, if I wasn't depressed.
You were very close.
There was something else going on. But anyway, I heard this song, Bandidos, on the way to work. And at that point in time, I wasn't playing music. I pretty much had stopped doing everything I had loved. But that made me realize these are the type of songs I want to write. This is the type of thing I want to put out. I don't want to put out all my darkness. I want to put out, it really defined, you know, not only the type of songs I write, but the type of band I wanted to have, how I wanted to approach things and approach people and fans when we play. You know, the Refreshments make you feel good. Refreshments are good, whether they be the band or actual Refreshments.
Absolutely.
I've never seen the Refreshments live.
Really?
Never seen them live.
Oh, no. We should fix that.
We can't do that.
Are they not together anymore?
Am I going to have to kill you?
You are fun.
I'm going to kill you. So anyway, but I've gotten to know Art a little bit, who is the bass player of the Refreshments. Mm-hmm. I've conversed with Brian, who was the guitarist of the Refreshments. Trashy Annie's producer is PH, who's the drummer of the Refreshments, and now Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. So the last one left is Roger Klein. So, Roger, I'm coming.
Are you listening, Roger?
Roger, I'm coming for you. My favorite songs from Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy. That was hard, too.
I didn't even think about that. I'm not even trying.
Bandidos, Down Together, European Swallow, or Girly. All of those songs are my favorite. I think I like Down Together a lot because it's a love story song.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one. Bandidos is just a fun song to play. It's fun to play live. The guitar part's just, bass part's off the hook too. European Swallow, I love the tone of the guitar on that song, and he's using a wah on that song. And then Girly's just a badass, funny song. I think that album, out of all of them, probably changed my life more than, this would probably be at the top of all album lists.
I could see that for you. Yeah. I was like, it's going to be the Refreshments or Tom Petty. I knew it was one or the other. And you hadn't said either one yet. So I wasn't sure which way you were going to go. But yeah. The Refreshments. Yep.
Tom Petty could have easily made the top five.
Yeah.
But
he almost made mine. Almost. Oh, so close.
These other albums. Tom Petty is a kind of a soundtrack of my life in some ways. Because he existed before me. And he existed quite a long time into my life. And so, you know, there are a lot of his songs that I can point at as far as, yes, that song was good. Yes, that song meant this to me. But these other songs, like, have a deep emotional meaning. They either changed my life or brought me some type of focus and clarity I did not have. Or they gave me a place where, you know, I felt like, no, I'm not the only one that's fucking insane.
Yeah. Would have been in my top 10 for sure.
I'm so glad we didn't do a top 10.
Oh, we would have. This would have been a 3-hour fucking show. I think at one point we should do our top 10 favorite songs.
Oh, God, no.
Yes, we could. We could do it. It's not that hard. You did this. Not albums, just songs.
I can't do. I have too many.
You didn't think you could do this and you did it.
I don't think I did a good job.
I think you did a great job.
If I go through my music catalog of all the albums, CDs and stuff I have, you know, I didn't include Pink Floyd. I didn't include
The Doors, and that one is still bothering me.
The Beatles. I didn't include Jerry Lee Lewis.
But I think the listeners would like our top 10 songs. Just 10 songs. If you were going to make a playlist of your top 10 songs, we really do sound a lot like that movie High Fidelity right now, by the way.
That's a funny movie.
I love that movie. I liked the show they made of into it too.
Yeah, it was.
It was good.
Man, I don't know if I could do that. We could try.
We're going to come back after our break and I want the top 10 songs. We're not going to talk about them quite as much, but just the top 10 songs. It's a challenge for me too. It would be hard. We could do it.
I'm going to have a bunch of rules.
Well, you make rules for yourself. I think you make it too hard for yourself.
Well, it's the only way to weed out things.
All right. Do you want my number one?
Yeah.
Or do you want to introduce the last artist? And
no,
then
I
want to
hear your number two again. What's the next artist? Are we doing your number two? I mean, your number one.
My number one. My number one album. And this was really hard because I knew what my number one artist would be, but I had to pick the album. And you said front to back. And so front to back, so hard because I want to do his other albums so bad, but I can't because this is the one that meant a lot to me. It's Lenny Kravitz 5. Front to back. The guitar playing is superb. The songwriting is superb. He plays with every genre. He's got songs on there that'll just, love songs on there that don't even feel like they should make you sad because the guitar is so good. Fly Away is one of my absolute favorite songs ever. Little Girl's Eyes makes me cry because daughter. Thinking of You about his mom. So good. It's so good. And there's some funk on there. Straight Cold Player is so funky. It's so good. So good. There's not a bad song. I love it. I love it. And I love him. And I did get to see him live in Berkeley.
That's pretty cool.
That whole band is top notch. They are in sync with each other. They're having fun. They know how to work. His background vocalists were like, I didn't know who to look at. He had a horn section. Of course, his drummer is, his bassist is so good. It's a good band. Like, I already really loved him. And I love all his albums. He hasn't put out an album that I don't like. But I've listened to this one probably the most. And I am
surprised that your number one is not as lame. Because he's like a legitimate pick. I mean, he is
amazing. And fuck
yes,
you, Michael Jackson is a legitimate pick. And Diana Ross as Billie Holiday is a legit pick.
Hey,
PJ Harvey, are you dissing PJ Harvey right now?
I'm dissing everyone.
Nirvana?
But you're number one in five. I'm surprised your number five is so low. I mean, so low.
I don't listen to you. I listen to the other ones more.
That's crazy.
But
I understand that one. I understand that one.
If you get the opportunity to see Lenny Kravitz, and you know, people go I think to see Lenny Kravitz, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to see Lenny Kravitz. And then you get there and it's not just about Lenny Kravitz. Like, as a musician, watching that band work together and play together so flawlessly, but yet it's authentic. There's not backing tracks or anything like that. There is some flaws in the live, but it's how music is supposed to be performed, I believe. And it's just, you can tell they're a family, that they all, they are feeding off of each other. And like, he, I don't think there was a person who didn't have a solo. His horn section had a solo, his drummer, his bassist, everybody had a solo. His guitarist that plays with him live, I used to know his name, and I don't know why I can't think of his name. His hands move so fast. It was unbelievable. But, and I have to thank my stepmother for that, because I, and every time I get a chance to see him, I'll see him again. It's a great band. He's a great songwriter. And yes, ladies, he's sexy as hell. We all know it. But he is one of our best living musicians right now.
Have you seen his new commercial? My wife didn't even recognize him. And I was like, how can you not recognize him? I was like, he's so good looking. I hate him.
How does he look that good at his age? He gives me something to aspire to be honest with you. Have you seen his new music video? Oh, my God. I watched his new TK421. Anyway, I watched that at work and it made me feel a little better. It also. And he's just a good songwriter. I had a hard time, though, between Five and his Strut album. I adore his Strut album. And it's another album from front to back. The songwriting's good. The musicianship is amazing. The guitar playing's amazing. He plays all these instruments. He is a force to be reckoned with. And we've got great songwriters out, but not like that. And he's been around for a minute and he ain't going anywhere. And if he would like to be interviewed on the Sound Pollution Podcast, you can go to thesoundpollutionpodcast@gmail.com. Brett will have to interview you because I won't be able to speak.
Sure as hell, yes. I would do that interview.
He's so cool. And he's such a nice guy, too. And the first song I ever heard him do was probably like 13 years old. And I can play it. It's one of the few songs that I can play because I'm not like Brent. I suck at guitar. Let Love Rule. And I was 13 years old at my mom's friend's house. And I was like, who is that? And I hadn't seen him yet. I was just listening to it on the radio. And I was just like, even that young, I understood the power behind the message.
That's a good selection. I mean, he's not better than your Refreshments, but that is a good.
I don't know, man. Well, to me, he is. But I get why you put the Refreshments on there. Absolutely. Like the song on Five, I Belong to You. If I ever get married, that's what I'm going to walk down the aisle to. Fuck this wedding march shit.
Playing weddings is interesting.
Those are interesting gigs. Hey, stressful. Top five movie. The Wedding Singer is probably my number one favorite movie.
That's a pretty good movie.
That's a great. Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore make me happy.
Introducing the fabulous Deb Morrison.
Well, it seems like yesterday, the patter of your feet, and singing that song every night when you couldn't fall asleep. Thing before you head into
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to us as we rambled about our top five albums. In between playing the music of the last four episodes, again, sorry, we have been MIA for a moment. Between family stuff, we have just been getting kind of slaughtered around here. We have two more interviews coming up. We've already told you who they are. We can't wait to interview those folks and share it with you. And then we're taking a little break. If you would like to support us, you can buy our merch. We'll have the link below. As always, like, follow, subscribe, and download not only to us, but to the artists that we have had on the show and that are featured in this episode. Their links will also be below. You want to play a fun little game with us? Why don't you tell us what your top five albums are in the comment section?
Yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Bam! You've been smacked with a glove. Let's go.
That's right.
All right, end the show for us, Brent, because I can't do the our tagline without coughing.
Okay, well, before we do the tagline, I'm going to say something. All right, people, thank you for listening, but we need you to do us a favor. Outside of sending us more money, we need you to share our episodes with the people you care about. And if you don't like us, share us with the people you don't like. You know, it's kind of a double negative, you know? So get us out there. Let us know. I'm sure there are a bunch of people that like music, like to hear about musicians. We try to do these interviews not only for the artists, but for you guys, too. So we appreciate your time. And remember to make some noise! Peace.